I'm welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's weekly personal finance podcast where we discuss all things money. For mutual fund and stock investors, the process of filing their income tax returns will be a bit different this year. Unlike earlier, they'll now have to declare their dividend income earned in financial year 2020-21 in their tax return forms. This means you will need access to details of such income earned last financial year and also ensure that you make accurate calculation. To understand how taxpayers should navigate this process and the challenges that they need to be prepared for this year, we have with us today Tapati Ghosh, partner Deloitte India.
Hi Tapati, welcome to the show. It's great having you here with us.
It's great being here with you, Preeti.
Okay, Tapati, now this is the first assessment year when taxpayers will have to declare their dividend income on stocks and mutual funds that they would have earned in financial year 2020-21. So, could you elaborate on this tax rule and how it will impact the return filing process this year?
Thanks, Preeti. Let me at the outset cover the provisions briefly. Until financial year 2019-2020, dividend from a domestic company of more than 10 lakh rupees was taxed at 10%. However, an exemption under section 1034 was available if the dividend income was 10 lakhs or less. The domestic company was liable to dividend distribution tax instead. From financial 2020-21, with the abolition of dividend distribution tax, it's moved to the classical system of taxation, and the liability to pay taxes has been passed on to the shareholder. Hence, the threshold of 10 lakhs has been removed and the individuals must pay tax at the applicable slab rates. The dividend is taxable if dividend is distributed, declared or paid on or after 1st of April 2020. In case of interim dividend, the trigger point for taxation would be at receipt. Further, the provisions related to allowability of expenses from dividend income comes into effect, which again would be dependent on income from business or income from other sources. While residents must pay tax at applicable slab rates, for non-residents, tax rates are 20% and they may explore whether the related double taxation treaty reliefs are available and are more beneficial to them. This relief will be available if the individual is a resident under the treaty of the other country and a tax residency certificate from that country is to be obtained. The company declaring dividend would need to deduct tax at 10% on dividend if it exceeds 5,000 rupees in the year for a resident individual as per section 194. During the pandemic, however, the TDS rate was reduced to 7.5% from mid-May to 31st March 2021. However, where the dividend is payable to a non-resident, the tax shall be deducted under section 195, subject to the provisions of the treaty, as I called out earlier.
So, Tapati, could you elaborate on the procedural details? How can taxpayers access and calculate their dividend income for FY 2021 and declare it in their income tax return forms this year?
Yeah, an absolutely relevant question, Preeti. Thanks. So individuals will have to capture the details of dividend received and taxes deducted in Schedule OS or Schedule A, P&L, as applicable, and the taxes deducted at source will have to be reflected in Schedule TDS. To be more specific, a person can deal in securities either as a trader or as an investor. The income earned by him from trading activities is taxable under the head Business and Profession. Whereas if the shares are held as an investment, then the dividend income shall be taxable under head of other sources and will hence need to be reflected either in the Schedule OS or Schedule A P&L. Now, while in Schedule OS and Schedule A P&L, one must disclose the dividend received each quarter, in the TDS schedule, the disclosure is required line by line for every company that has declared dividend. As to how the individual should source all of this data, They should verify their bank statements for dividend credits and the form 26AS from the income tax portal where taxes may have been deducted at source. While it would have been preferable to have the details of dividend received quarter on quarter from NSDL or CDSL or The depository participant, along with applicable TDS. For FY21, these details are not available except in a few cases. Hence, the process of data capture will have to be the detailed manual process as called out. Okay. The other thing that needs to be kept in mind is that if the net tax liability on overall income, including dividend after tax deduction, exceeds 10,000 rupees, it would have triggered off an advance tax liability. Non-payment of advance tax could trigger interest exposure. With respect to dividends, it depends on which quarter it was received. Also, say if you expected that the balance tax that had to be paid at the end of the year was 20% and have paid advance tax accordingly, on account of the pandemic relief, the TDS was actually deducted only at 7.5%.
Right.
And hence, the net tax liability at the end of the year could be marginally higher.
Okay. Regarding sourcing of these details, do you think retail investors who invest online through aggregator portal or even otherwise, do you think they'll have it easier? Do you think they'll get a consolidated statement and that will make the process easier for them?
For FY21, these details are not available to the retail investor.
Okay.
And they are going to be having a very hard time.
All right. And because this is the first assessment year when this rule comes into force, there will be mistakes that taxpayers are bound to make, especially because the data is not available in an easy to use form, as you mentioned. So far, what are the mistakes that you've seen taxpayers and particularly retail individuals make so far while declaring their dividend income this year?
Yeah, let me take an example. Okay. In the past, when taxes were not deducted, the dividend amount being credited in the bank statements would have been the gross dividend. But now the credit may be the gross or the net, depending on whether TDS was made by the company declaring the dividend. So the individual should download the Form 26AS, which reflects details of TDS by companies, and the amount to be offered to tax is the gross dividend, and the TDS should be claimed as a credit. Many a time we've seen that individuals just go and offer the net dividend in the tax return, which is not correct. A script-wise analysis is preferred. And in some cases, the company would not have deducted TDS in the initial quarters if the expected dividend for the year is less than 5,000. And this would not be reflected in the Form 26AS, but may be reflected in the bank statement as gross dividend. The point I'm trying to make is that one should not rely only on the bank statement or only on the Form 26AS, but should be analyzing based on information from both. So due care should be taken over here. Of course, the comments are all from the perspective of dividend income earned by an individual as an investor or a trader.
Right. All right, Tappi, any advice that you would like to give to our listeners who are primarily individual investors and individual taxpayers? Anything that they should bear in mind this year, specifically with regard to dividend income declaration?
Possibly two or three points. One is keep the documentation required for the completion of the tax return handy. That would include the downloaded Form 26AS, the bank statements, and multiple bank statements if they have been so declared.
Right.
The second would possibly be that, given the fact that the utility has not been working too well as yet, and for those who have already filed their tax returns, they may need to go back and check at a later point in time if whatever is available in the Form 26AS and whatever is available in the income tax portal are actually aligning and are in sync. And if required, a revised return can be filed at a later point in time if they are not. And of course, third point would be to keep an eye open for any other changes that may come in from depository participants or from NSDL or CDSL in case, they have a catch up for FY21 as well. And to map that against the information that has been filed in the tax returns and see if things have been offered to tax correctly.
All right, Tapti. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for all the information. I'm sure that would be of great help to our listeners. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Preeti.
With that, it's a wrap on this episode of Simply Save. For more news and updates, please stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.